Welcome and thank you for joining us today for MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we bring awareness to nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their generosity, their purpose, and their impact. Thank you for joining us today for MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. Our hope is to share information, inspiration, and stories of impact so you can go out and make a difference in our community in your own unique way. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. We strongly believe here at EIG that every person deserves access to resources they need in order to thrive. Now, one may ask, what does that look like? Well, I think it depends on what you are in need of. Thrive equals what? That means something different to different people, right? That's why we started this show in the first place. We highlight various nonprofits and the work they do and the services they provide so that the population they serve can thrive. So let's take a look at what that looks like for our nonprofit today. Joining me is Janine Hibbler, founder of Heart to Heart Compassionate Widows Circle, who aims to create a safe and supportive environment for widows that fosters growth, healing, and empowerment. Welcome to the show today, Janine.
Thank you, Jill. I am so excited because of all the work that you and the family at Ellenbecker Investment Group supporting Wisconsin Widows Connected, which I am a part of. So this is an honor for me to be here to share what I do to support widows in ministry in Wisconsin.
Well, we're happy to hear more about the organization and see what kind of impact you make. So why don't you start by telling us what inspired you to create Heart to Heart Compassionate Widows Circle? And how did your personal experience shape your mission?
Well, that's interesting you say that, because Heart to Heart was born out of my own pain. I lost my husband in January of 21 to a heart attack. And prior to that, I also lost my dad to a heart attack. So hence the word heart to heart, two heart attacks, which brought out my own realization that widowhood can feel very isolating. After losing my husband, I searched for spaces where widows could, you know, fit in, even in my own church. And unfortunately, it was a lonely place because no one understands widowhood like another widow. And I wanted to create a community where compassion led the way and where widows could rediscover themselves and have a purpose and not be alone.
And so, yeah, you talk about this idea of compassionate widowhood. So you kind of defined that. Why is it central to your work?
Compassionate widowhood means embracing grace for yourself and for others in an effort to alleviate their pain. And a lot of times, you know, when you give of yourself, you receive so much more in return. You know, listening to the stories, sometimes you can understand, sometimes it's something new that actually pierces your heart in a different way. And it actually gives you energy to continue that widowhood journey with other widows.
Well, and you mentioned that you were looking at your church, at least initially, for some type of support service. So I understand that faith is very much an important building block in the foundation of Heart to Heart, right?
It sure is. Our mission is based on Isaiah 1:17. We encourage believers and unbelievers, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow. So obviously taking that truly to heart, pleading for the widow, Heart to Heart is probably one of the first true advocacy groups that's out there sharing with people across, you know, Southeast Wisconsin what widowhood truly is. What I found is a lot of churches might have one widow or two widows that go out for coffee together, but they never share their experiences broadly. It's a private, like, undercover ministry. It's not something that's very bold and what I consider bold and beautiful, because God chose us to carry that, to plead for one another and plead for the orphans. And I take that as a badge of honor. And when I was in the church, I had a title of administrative pastor. After my husband, who was the senior pastor of Cedar Hills Church, passed away, I adopted my ministry title as the compassionate widow. So I truly look at that title as a badge of honor, because it is an honor to be a widow. In the scriptures, widows are mentioned 81 times. So that tells me that God truly has the widow at heart, and we mean so much to him. So I don't want any widow to ever feel that they're alone and that they're there's like this black cloud over them. So my compassion just exudes out of everything I do, and I love loving on them. The oldest widow in our ministry is 105 years old, and we celebrate her every chance we get. Mm-hmm. Mother Carrie Harrell has just, she has this heart of joy that just, you know, everyone who meets her, you can't help but to get excited to be around her, because she still does everything on her own. She doesn't want any assistance. I got it. I can do it. So it's encouraging. In particular, I like to share her story just a little bit more, because Mother Carrie is the oldest widow that I had the opportunity to minister to, but she has been a widow three times. She's outlived three husbands, and she's never had any children. And she calls me daughter, and I take that as a term of endearment. And it is truly an honor to serve her.
Well, and I love the idea, this idea that is in your mission statement about teaching others to thrive. So you're understanding, okay, what does this population you serve need, and how can I help them to thrive in various ways, right? What about challenges? Did you face any when you were launching a nonprofit that focused on widow support?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I face them daily, that the church doesn't understand the charge that they are supposed to be stewards and support and provide comfort to the widows and the orphans. And I think the church has the orphan side of it, you know, pretty much in the forefront. They talk about it, they advocate, they support youth. A lot of Christians, they will adopt young people, but they don't do that same love and care for the widow, who God really, you know, has put on a mantle that we're supposed to honor and serve.
So you have run into some challenges along the way, which I think any nonprofit has. And I think it's important to share those, because you can commiserate with others that are struggling with that, but you can also help others that are looking for answers and maybe ways that you approached those challenges. Share with us how the organization has evolved since its inception.
So since its inception, actually in 2026, we're launching what we call Tea Talks. But we have been honored to be a part of the Sunday morning series with Michael Schlesinger. And he actually met us at our, you know, humble beginning, and he shared with us that he was excited. A couple months ago, he did a reunion with us to see how we've evolved. So initially, we were not doing very much. We were just pretty much doing the culinary classes and some music meditation classes. And now we've expanded into Digital Messenger, which is teaching people how they can use IT to support their mental health with AI enhancements, journaling, and so many other opportunities, because a lot of times widows are, they're kind of shut in. They're not out and about in the community. So being able to reach them virtually is the opportunity that we're launching in January. And we're really excited about that opportunity. But we love to also do our cooking classes, which Chef Zakia will talk about in a moment. And I think that is probably one of the areas that we've expanded. And most recently, Ellen Becker Investment Group gave us an opportunity to host a cooking class right there on site. And we now have traveling cooking classes. So that is an expansion that we didn't have initially.
All kinds of exciting things going on there, and how you're teaching your widows that you serve how to thrive, right?
Absolutely.
Well, you wrote a book called Navigating a Hurricane of Hurts, Enduring the Loss of Loved Ones. What motivated you to write it? And how does it reflect your personal journey through grief and healing?
Well, I wrote the book as a therapeutic method for myself. You know, writing just came naturally to me, and I wanted to express what I was feeling, because unfortunately, to me, when you're losing loved ones, it's like a relentless, chaotic storm. And in my life, it came on very fast and furious. So in March of 2020, I lost a son to suicide in my home. And then fast forwarded to July of 2020, I lost my job. And then in September of 2020, I lost my dad. And then in January of 2021, I lost my husband. So, you know, wow. four major losses in a 10-month period is what motivated me not to be angry, but to develop, you know, a resource and a tool that can help other people navigate the losses that they were experiencing. So between the time of my son's loss in March to today, I've lost 20 loved ones. So I share my book to support those that are grieving. And I write it in, you know, using the storm analogy, the rain's coming, the wind's coming in, and just explaining to them how each of my losses are related to a hurricane having category 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I've had 5 major losses that I write about in the book. My dad died of cancer when I was 12. And I had a little brother who died at 24. He had complications from a birth defect. He had cerebral palsy. And then obviously, fast forward, and then my son at 24 lost his life to suicide. And then my dad, my bonus dad, my stepdad, he died of a heart attack in his home. And then fast forwarded to my husband died of a heart attack in my home. So just sharing all of that. And I do have questions in the back of the book to support families to have conversations, to plan their legacy after they're gone, things that they might need to know.
And I'm sure you have heard the saying that turning pain into purpose. It's something that I think, and you certainly have had a lot of pain from what I understand. I'm sorry for the losses that you've endured. But I think the wonderful thing, or the beauty, and that's what we like to highlight it, is how did you turn that pain into purpose? And we're hearing about that now through the different things that you're talking about. What message do you hope the readers will take away from your story?
That they can weather the storm. When you reach out, there are people out there to help you navigate and to support you. And in particular, widows, you are not alone. You know, you have your ups and downs, and there are people that will take that journey alongside of you. And in our ministry with Heart to Heart, we hope to encourage you and also build a bigger family bond. You know, a lot of times when the ladies come together, they're friends well after that, and they get together and they still communicate and they support one another. And that's what we want to do, is to build a community where widowhood is respected as well as it's normalized. And that's what we're advocating for at this time.
Okay. Well, there's lots more to dive into. We're going to take a quick break here, but when we return, we're going to learn about some of the specific services that Heart to Heart offers. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Milwaukee's philanthropic community is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. This year, EIG celebrates 30 years of thoughtful growth, personalized service, and community impact. From a kitchen table vision to a boutique wealth management firm, EIG has always put people first, offering transparent advice, fiduciary care, and education that empowers families for generations. To learn more, visit ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's philanthropic community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at EIG. And we're continuing our conversation today with Janine Hibbler and Chef Mama Zakia. I will refer to her going forward as Chef, because that's kind of a mouthful, but Chef Mama Zakia is joining our conversation today because she's an advocate for Heart to Heart and is involved in a number of ways. Janine, why don't you tell us what specific services? You talked a little bit about it in the first segment. You mentioned some things, but do a deeper dive into the specific services that Heart to Heart offers.
Sure. I really would like to highlight moving forward in 2026, we're launching our circles to be Tea Talks. This is an opportunity to provide a safe space for participants to share their stories, explore coping mechanisms, and to build connections rooted in empathy and understanding. Each of the sessions will integrate reflective discussions, creative activities, and faith-based encouragement to help participants navigate the complexities of grief while discovering hope and purpose. And basically, these are two-hour sessions, and the sessions aim to provide emotional support, encourage healthy expressions, and they include coping strategies. We also promote connection and community. And obviously, we want to inspire hope and resilience in each of the participants.
Okay. And who are the primary individuals or the communities that you serve?
So we have a mobile opportunity. So we will go anywhere in Southeast Wisconsin and support the groups there, whether it be churches or community groups. We've done it all. Schools. We would like to package these in a 6-week opportunity. So 2 hours for 6 sessions. And our sessions include spiritual connection sessions. We have music meditation sessions. We have digital messenger sessions, and obviously everyone loves our culinary arts sessions. All of the sessions are interactive, and they learn all the techniques as well as have a time for fellowship and tea after each session.
So if someone reaches out to you and says, I like the tea talk or I like the music meditation idea, you travel to them. Correct.
We will travel to a community group. So we use Oak Creek School District has allowed us to use space there, and then we have certain commercial kitchens that we use for our culinary arts. And we try to do this in a session of 20 people because once again we're trying to build community. So it's not a one-on-one opportunity. And moving into 2026, we're opening it up to more community groups to partner with us.
Okay. Well, you talk about this idea of the culinary arts, and Chef, that's where you're going to come in. So let's hear from you. You know, do a deeper dive into what that looks like, what you offer.
Okay. Well, what we offer in the culinary arts, first of all, thank you for allowing me to speak with your audience today. And EIG, we're really excited about it. I have to reflect on the session that we recently had at EIG with a group of widows that they absolutely totally enjoyed, and I enjoyed them too. But in particular, when we talk about food and the impact that food has, you know, on our lives and what it is that we do, we know that food is one of the things that bring us together. Okay, it's one of the links that brings us together. It's one of the things that creates memories, and you know, it brings about happiness. It brings about a feeling of peace. And when we talk about comfort food, you know, in particular, we know that it serves as an emotional anchor, you know, that activates those centers in our brain, right? And it's because of that, it makes those connections that can help people deal with anxiety, help them deal with the loneliness that they oftentimes feel, as well as just feeling good about you and what you do. And so when we come together, you know, it becomes a family type of atmosphere. And we're cooking alone. I'm not standing there just demonstrating how to go ahead and prepare food. No, we're actually doing hands-on, you know, that we're cutting, we're chopping. People have different responsibilities. We're cooking. And the most important thing we do is that we eat, you know.
Do we get to eat these at the end? Eat these dishes that you're creating. Can you imagine if you didn't get to do that? You're just, okay, we're going to make a dish and now, you know, pass it along, which that's all good.
Right.
That's all
right.
Good. Not, yeah, you want to taste what you're making.
Right. And not only eat, if they have any leftovers, they can take it home. And I say that with a big if, because once they start tasting, it's like, oh, this is really good. They have a few. We prepare for leftovers, but that necessarily doesn't happen. But the other part of it is not only creating the comfort food, but also pairing it with a tea. The classes are basically plant-based, you know, so they're very healthy. But what's important is that not only are they healthy, but they taste good. You know, sometimes people get the impression that if something is healthy, it's going to be bland. You know, I'm not going to like it. You know, it's not going to be fun. And we incorporate fun and good tasting food throughout, you know, the entire experience. And then, as I said, it's paired with a tea. The tea comes with different blends, different herbal type of blends. Most of that can be readily found, you know, in your local health food store or in your garden, because many of the widows have their own garden and we encourage that. You know, so just the opportunity to coexist, you know, with others who understand what it is that you're going through, that you can be a support for them as well as they can be a support for you. And our goal really is that when people leave our sessions, the culinary arts sessions or any of the sessions, they're leaving those sessions with a feeling of joy and peace. And that's what we want people to experience. We want your life to go from joy to peace and peace to joy. That is the ideal way.
I love that. Well, you're talking about food. You're making me hungry, first of all. But I'm curious, do you provide services outside of the population of widows? I mean, do you also offer your services?
Yes.
So actually, Jill, yes, our classes, all of our sessions can be altered to serve any population that's grieving. We do want them to be, you know, going through something. We don't just want your, you know, everyday person, because all of our materials are related to helping people cope with grief.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm sure you work with widows from diverse backgrounds and different stages of grief, right? Do you support them differently?
Actually, we treat everybody the same. We're trying to normalize grieving. We're trying to normalize being a widow. So when they come to any of our sessions, we treat everyone the same. And we love on people all the time. It really is a family. We can meet someone and in 5 minutes, they're a part of the family. We always have an icebreaker when they come into the sessions. So, you know, it's always something fun. Chef always comes up with something unique, like everyone's going to introduce themselves by saying the letter, your first letter in your name, name a vegetable or a fruit that starts with that, you know, and everybody's thinking, and then it just builds team building because everybody's shooting out words to help people out. And before you know it, they're all together.
Well, so what would you come up with for Jill, Chef?
The question is, what would you come up with for Jay?
I don't know. I'm supposed to come up with a plant-based vegetable or something. I don't know.
Thing that comes to my mind is something that I really enjoy making, and it's jicama.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
So,
jicama. Jicama. It starts with a J. It doesn't sound like it, but it starts with a J. And I tie that into one of the slaws that I make, you know, a jicama slaw. And it's just so, so good. So again, like Janine said, it gives people opportunity to think, and then people start helping each other. So just like you know, you were supposed to do the J, but you turned it back on me. I'm like, okay, what comes to my mind as it relates to J? And as I said, it's the jicama. Yeah, and that's how our classes flow. You know, they're fun. You know, they make people smile. It's very hard to be angry or upset or feeling sad if you're smiling. Right. And if you're not smiling and somebody is smiling at you, what are you going to do? You're going to keep that mean face? No, you're going to break down and you're going to smile, too. And that's the goal, you know, and it's all surrounded, really, you know, chemical functions that exist in our brain, you know. So we do that. We encourage that so that, again, when people leave, they're feeling good about who they are, what it is that they've done, and they can't wait to get back to the next session.
Yeah. And guess what? Smiling's free.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can pass. It doesn't cost you a dime. You know?
Right. Right.
Something. It's like a domino effect. If you are filled with joy and you pass that on, then, you know, someone receives that joy, which is wonderful.
Right.
And fun and food in the same sentence. That's awesome. I'm there on you with you on that one. Janine, what kind of feedback have you received from participants in your circles?
When are we going to do this again? this went fast. Even when we have 3-hour cooking classes, they're like, we need more time. So I've never received any negative feedback, even from ladies who, you know, and we've had a couple gentlemen join our classes, even from people who don't cook. They enjoy the culinary arts circle the most. And for people who can't sing or play an instrument, they love our music meditation circle because Brother Benito makes it so fun and interactive, and he's jumping around and everything. He gets the youngest to the oldest all excited about playing. And in particular, our oldest member of the music meditation circle is going to be 76 years old next week. So he has a way of, you know, just getting inspiring from the youngest to the oldest to get involved and love music and using it as a therapeutic opportunity to calm themselves. So it's a wonderful opportunity. And then with our digital messenger circle, Brother Tony and Brother Jonathan are just whiz. They teach us so many things about safe surfing on the net. And now they're going to get into more opportunities of teaching people to use, you know, other software on the internet to support their mental health. So we're really excited about that opportunity. And then I utilize chapters in the book that I wrote to support the spiritual connection for widows. So that's what we've been doing, and we're really looking forward to expanding in 2026.
Okay. Well, on that note, what are your hopes for the future and its impact on widow communities locally and, who knows, perhaps nationwide?
I would love to expand. I'm from Memphis originally, so between here and Tennessee, I would love for chapters to, open up and support widows. And right now, mental health is so important, and anything that we can do to help people with their mental health and wellness is like our top priority with Heart to Heart. So thank you for having this opportunity, Jill, because it has been great. And we're hoping that your audience will give us a call or send us an email and invite us in.
Okay. Well, and our audience will be able to get that information in our show notes for reaching out to you. If they're interested, if somebody's listening, whether you're a corporation, maybe you're a widow's group, maybe you're an individual that wants to participate in, or get involved in a group, you can reach out to Janine Hibbler and Heart to Heart and just get more information. And again, that'll be available on our show notes. So thank you for being here today, Janine, and Chef Mama Zakia, for sharing how you provide support in so many different ways to widows in our community, and for just sharing your passion to serve. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate being here too.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Yes.
Thanks for listening to our show today, MPC, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where you learn about nonprofit leaders and everyday heroes who are making an impact in our community through their purpose, their passion, and their generosity. To hear more inspiring stories and perhaps find a place to plug in and share your time, talent, and resources, just tap the subscribe button or go to ellenbecker.com/podcasts. Whether you're in your home, at work, or out in the community, find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If something in today's conversation resonated with you, share it with a friend or family member. And if you hadn't already, subscribe so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe education and community impact go hand in hand. That's why we love bringing you thoughtful insights from leaders and organizations who care deeply about making a difference in Milwaukee and beyond. Please note, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes and to highlight philanthropic efforts in our community. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellen Becker Investment Group employees and leaders. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll see you next time.